Welcome to Agape Ministries Podcasts, a whole new way of thinking. Episode 36, Part 1 of the teaching by Charles Whitehead, Be Renewed by the Transformation of Your Mind.
I want to talk to you this morning about something that I've been feeling is very important. And actually, Pastor Clyde Thomas referred to it last night, which I took as a confirmation that this is important. And I'm going to begin by reading to you just a few scriptures. Now, I know this isn't very Catholic to do it this way, but it's crucially important that we know what the Word of God says about the things we're about. And so they're going to come up on the screen, but if you've got your Bibles, you know, that's great. What I'm going to talk about is being renewed by the transformation of our minds. By the transformation of our minds. And the problem that I think is the most common is that we rationalize things in a very human way, and we kind of talk ourselves out of God's blessing. And this is a real issue, because we think we're so intelligent and so bright these days that we know everything, and we think our way through things without trusting in the Holy Spirit and in God's revelation. Sue's smiling at me. Why are you smiling at me? I'm listening to my own talk. Yeah, yes, of course I am. I've got a smiling wife in the front row, and that's always very dangerous. Yes, I am listening to my own talk, darling. I listened when I prepared it, too. I want us just to think about this morning, and I say think about it because I'm asking us to do what I'm asking us not to do, in a certain sense, but we have to realize we do it, because this can be a blockage, okay? So, the scripture I want to begin with is Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Oh, look, that's good. Now, the version on here is the New International Version, so I'll read it from the screen for you. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. This is Paul writing to the church in Rome. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And my message this morning is really that this is a really important thing for us to kind of take on board. That we need to have new minds. It's part of the package. But so often we hang on to some of our old ways of thinking. And this interrupts the flow of the Holy Spirit. The second scripture I want to look at is Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. So this is the reason why we can trust. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. So we don't have to be worried because God's working in us and we can trust him because he has our good at heart. That's the most important thing. So God has our good at heart and we can therefore trust him. Now the third scripture is Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans 8 and verse 5. And this is a reminder of what we have come from. Those who live according to the sinful nature, the old nature, have their minds set on what that nature desires. And we know what this means, don't we? If we're wanting something that we know isn't right, our minds get hooked on it and we try to figure out how to get it. But what we have to learn is, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. So that's us. Renewed by the Holy Spirit, we have our minds set, or we are to have our minds set, on what the Holy Spirit wants, and not what we want in the flesh, so to speak. And this can be very simple and innocuous things. You know, I'd rather read my daily newspaper than do my Bible reading. It's a bit of the flesh, you know, I think you should do both. Because I think your reading of the daily newspaper informs the way you think and pray and react to the society we live in. We need to know what's going on. But it's not an either-or. And the primary thing is to be following what the Spirit wants us to do. And we need to feed our minds with spiritual truth all the time. Because otherwise, we'll be feeding our minds with what's on the television, what's in the newspapers, and all this other stuff. And that's not going to help us. It informs us, and we know how to react to things. We know how to chat to somebody that we might meet in a bus queue or in a pub or whatever, because we have to be at least up to date with what's going on. I mean, imagine you're next to somebody and you want to kind of introduce a conversation. And you say to them something like, did you read that thing in the paper this morning about the aeroplane that landed rather heavily in Madrid? And some of the crew got kind of knocked about a bit. And they say, no, I didn't know anything about that. Oh, right. Did you watch the snooker semi-final on television last night? And did you notice who's now in the final? No, I don't know anything about snooker. Right. Did you spot that Man City beat Everton, and that means that they have a good chance of winning the league over Liverpool? Sorry, Liverpool supporter. Football? No, I don't do football. And you go through all the things that have been in the last day's newspaper, and they just say, no, I don't know about that. You know, say, well, don't you read the paper? No, I'm a Christian. I mean, how pathetic is that? I say, I'm a Christian, I read the news. You know, I want to know what we're dealing with in society. Very important. Let's move on. Where have we got to? What was that? Romans 8:5. Have you got Galatians 2:19, Steve? You have. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. Now, I'm going to just look this one up for you because I think I probably need to read a little bit more of it. Galatians 2, verse 19. This is quite an important point to make. I'm reading from the New Living Bible, so it's slightly different to this. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me, so I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? Your old self, you don't look terribly thrilled by this. Your old selves have been crucified with Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's worth two hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die. Now that's the ultimate answer for the legalists. If you could achieve eternal life and new life in the Christ and the Holy Spirit by keeping the law and nothing else, then why did Jesus come and die? And the simple truth is we can't do it that way. Keeping the law is a good thing. And we're talking about spiritual law. We're not saying it's okay to go and chuck a brick through the car outside's window. The spiritual law, that's not the way it didn't work for the Jewish people. It wasn't working. we need Christ to come and set us free. Are you with me so far? Are you sure? Are they with me, Sue? Okay. So what was the next scripture I had? Steve, what was next? Oh, yes, the last one of this of the scriptures I'm going to deal with at the beginning. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 51. And the shortened version, the exact scripture is, "Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed." And again, I'll just read you slightly more around that. But the important part of the message is that we're going to be changed. We are being changed. New Living Translation, "Let me reveal to you a wonderful secret." I like secrets more than mysteries, don't you? But we will not all die. We will all be transformed. And that's why I'm reading from the New Living, because that's my text, is transformed. "It will happen in a moment, in the blink of an eye." So we will be transformed. "For our dying bodies..." No, let me go back a bit. "When the last trumpet is blown. For when the trumpet sounds, those who have died will be raised to live forever, and we who are living will also be transformed." So this is about our mortal bodies being transformed. But as we walk out our Christian lives, we need to be transformed in our minds. Oh, that was clever, Steve. He's added a bit. "Listen, I tell you a mystery." Yeah, good. So I'm glad you've all read that. Excellent. So let me just try and take one more area, and then I'm going to allow the Lord to sort of guide me as I try and unpack what I'm getting at. The disciples of Jesus needed to be trained and transformed. Now, the Lord did his best, didn't he, when he was with them? He did his best to train them. He did his best to give them the vision of what he was all about. And they occasionally got a glimpse of it, but mostly they got it wrong. I mean, they weren't all that sort of clued in to what Jesus was doing in those 3 years. After 3 years with him, they could still get it wrong. They still hadn't really got it. And after then he was crucified, we have them on the road to Emmaus, which is our gospel reading today, giving up all hope. They'd been listening to him telling them what he was going to happen, but they hadn't really believed it enough to hold on to it. So they needed transformation. And the transformation comes on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. That's when they're transformed. And suddenly, all these disciples who've been not clear, not understanding, got glimpses occasionally, been excited by seeing Jesus after his resurrection and before his ascension, and picked up a bit more from that, but still not equipped to go out. The message that they've been given by the Lord was, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the power from on high. And they were waiting to leave Jerusalem because he'd also told them that they were to go throughout the world and preach the gospel. But don't do it until you get the power. That's the key thing. And that's the message for us today. Pope Francis is telling us, be joyful messengers of the gospel. Go out in joy and present the gospel. But then at the end of his encyclical, Evangelii Gaudium, he says, but you need to be spirit-filled evangelizers. You can't do this. We can't do this without the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were totally transformed on the day of Pentecost. The supreme example is Peter. I mean, Peter's been a bit of a, well, he's been up and down and a bit of a disaster, hasn't he, in many ways? You know, who do people say I am? And Peter's kind of, they're all, just imagine that scene. Jesus has been preaching, and he's got the disciples together. They've gone aside for a bit of quiet time. And he suddenly turns to them and says, who do people say that I am? And it's very easy to tell somebody what people say about them, isn't it? Oh, well, some people think you're great. Some people think you're a prophet. Some people think this, some people think that. You know, I don't mind telling anybody in this hall what other people think about you. And then Jesus turns the tables on him and he says, and what about you? What do you think? Who do you think I am? And I can imagine at that moment that the grains of sand became rivetingly interesting. And they suddenly found, I've just got to go and put the kettle on and, you know, I need a comfort break, Lord. I'll be back in a minute. You know, they didn't want to tell him, did they? Because actually, they hadn't got it. And Peter, bless him, speaks out. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, Jesus says, yeah. And Peter must have been, see, lads, I mean, you know, someone's got to know it, haven't they? You know. Because I honestly think Peter, in his pre-Pentecost days, was a bit like that. You know, I don't think he was this kind of, I think he was quite proud of when he got things right and would have made the most of it. And then Jesus, of course, turns the tables on him totally and he says, well done, Peter. You know, oh, yes. but it wasn't you. That was revelation from my Father. Oh, right, okay. You know, and then, of course, Jesus goes on talking about going to his death and so on. And Peter jumps in again. Lord, you can't do that. Don't go to Jerusalem. You can't be killed. It's terrible. And what does how does Jesus tell him off then? Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like men, not like God. So Peter's on this kind of... And I always love, and I mean, I've said this before, so I've almost certainly said it in Cardiff. I love his walking on the water. You know, again, he doesn't engage the brain before he engages the mouth. Jesus is walking towards them on the water, and there's this figure. And they're in the boat, getting tossed about a bit. And they look, and John says, it's the Lord. And Peter doesn't think. He's a fisherman. He simply says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And his heart must have sunk as the reply says, come. You know, and the lads in the boat, because I think they were up to here with Peter occasionally, I can imagine they go on then. Go on, big mouth, you know. And bless him, he gets out of the boat onto water, doesn't he? And suddenly finds it's like it's solid water. And he starts walking towards Jesus on the water, looking at Jesus. And the lads in the boat would be thinking, oh, heavens, you know. But Peter is Peter. And as he makes this, he can't resist just turning round and saying to the lads, see, nothing to it, man. Nothing to it, guys. And it says he took his eyes off the Lord. Yeah, well, he would do if he'd turned back, wouldn't he? And then he sees the water and the storm and everything, and he begins to sink. And he comes out with the most sensible thing he could ever have said. Save me, Lord. He's asking the Savior of the world to save him. And Jesus just reaches out and pulls him up, saves him, gets him in the boat. And then Jesus says to him, oh, ye of little faith. I always feel that's a bit harsh. He got out of the boat, hadn't he? You know, you wouldn't have got me out of that boat, whoever was walking on. Anyway, I'd gone off the point a bit, sorry. So the disciples needed to be transformed, and the transformation comes with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And this same Peter is able to preach the most amazing sermon, showing evidence of knowing things that we never knew he knew, quoting the scriptures, quoting the prophet Joel, talking about David, etc. And it's so powerful that what happens is 3,000 people are converted. It's amazing. It's a powerful sermon. But the only reason it is because this Peter is now filled with the Holy Spirit. So he stops thinking humanly, and he begins to be prompted by the Spirit as he speaks. And that's what this transformation is all about. But for you and I today, and probably for Peter then, it's still possible to avoid the wrong worldly things, but still be insensitive, proud, selfish, stubborn, lacking in love. Does this ring any bells, or are you perfection here in Cardiff. You look all right, but I mean, looks can be deceptive. So we can still go back and be all of these kind of things. And we have to recognize that. And if we are to be these new people, we have to let the Holy Spirit keep on working at changing the way we think and helping us with our day-to-day behavior. Because if we think differently, we'll act differently. And we'll find ourselves doing things we never would have thought we would do. Positive, good things.
So thank you for taking the time to listen to these episodes. Our prayer is that as you listen and reflect on these teachings, that you'll be encouraged to continue your journey to maximize your potential to have a good and a happy life. So sign in again next week for more teaching on how you can follow the Jesus way to experience your life as filled with meaning, purpose, and joy. So God bless and stay safe.